heard a lot of people say, well, how do y'all get people to come? Well, they just fall in love with Jesus. It's easy to serve Him. I met my wife in around 1979, Panama City Beach, Florida. She was there with her parents, and I was there with mine. And I fell in love. And it was 233 miles from my door to her door from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And, you know, it sure made the trip easy when you love somebody. And a lot of people said, well, ain't they plenty of girls here to marry? Well, they was. But God had different ideas. And there's a lot of churches you could be at this morning. But I'm glad that you've got a love in your heart to be this way. And we've got people driving from Anniston, Alabama, faithful. We got people driving from Roanoke, Alabama, Bremen, Villarica, Carrollton. Somebody had asked the other day, says, most of y'all's church Bowden. I said, no, not many's in Bowden. Prophets without honor in his own country. But I sure do appreciate you being here today. I got something weighing on my heart. And I don't even got a title. But I've got something under the title. And I really believe it'd help us if we'll take it right. Because I want to preach it right. And this week in revival meeting, God gave me three new messages I've never preached. I was wanting to preach one this morning, but as I said earlier, I won't bore you with my night. But God woke me up this morning and give me the thought for today. And if you'd turn with us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And I sure am glad we've got a Bible that we can read today. If you'd stand with us, as our custom here, we stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. I'm going to start reading in verse number 19. I want to say, while you're finding your place, we'll be in revival services this week at Ridgeway Baptist Church at 7 o'clock. Brother Lynn Janney's the pastor, Monday through Thursday night. And if you can come out to our meetings, it would be a blessing. If you can't, you pray for me. I sure will be grateful. Well, I enjoyed the youth choir. Somebody say amen. Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, not by your church membership, but by the blood of Jesus. There are a lot of different denominations today. And I can tell you who's going to heaven, just not Baptists is going to heaven. Matter of fact, I'm convinced not a lot of Baptists are going to heaven. They're the only group that wants to fuss and fight and divide all the time. I never hear of nobody else splitting and busting up, but Baptists, they mean people. Somebody go and help me preach this tomorrow. They mean people. They don't never sort out their indifferences. They just get their marbles and go home. But I are a Baptist, amen. And I'm glad I pastor a diverse mix of people. Amen. He said, but that we can enter in by the blood of Jesus. You always remember this. At judgment day, God's going to sort it all out by the blood. And I wouldn't be too judgmental because somebody's a holiness or a Methodist. Church of Christ, I just say we got to remember one thing. A lot of my Baptist brethren call me liberal on this statement. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Lee, the older I get in the Lord, and I've been preaching for 25 years, I wish I could have started out preaching the way I am this morning. Sort of like I wish I could have started raising my children after my grandchildren. I sure would have been a lot better daddy. We whooped Megan for everything, the first one, and Macy, we just turned her loose, amen. That's why she is the way she is. It's her mama's fault. Somebody say amen. No, Macy was born with it. She got it honest. Like some of you, you was born with it. You're going to have to deal with it now. It ain't no special class for you. You just got to deal with it. Go to every psychiatrist in the country, they're still going to tell you crazy. But there is hope in the blood, amen. By new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, we don't need a pope this morning. Because we have the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, the champion of grace. I'm glad He came our way. So we have Him as our high priest. Look what He says. Over the house of God. Even the preacher don't get to make the decisions. A lot of you say, well, I never get to vote. Well, you're into it to yourself too much. I don't even get to have my way. There's somebody over this place that I got to bow to. Somebody grabs me by the nape of the neck and pushes me in the corner. And I have no options. You know why? Because He's the high priest. Over. He's not under it. He's over it. And when you go to church where Jesus is in charge, you'll see great and mighty things. The great high priest over the house of God. He's over every one of us. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you're just a dictator. You need your mouth washed out. I'm just God's under-shepherd trying to mind and get your young'uns to heaven. He said, over the house of God, let us draw near. I guarantee you He'll be the best person you've ever sat by this way. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Young people, look up here this morning. He's faithful that promised. And watch this, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now note in verse 22, let us. Verse 23, let us. 24, let us. Now 25. I won't preach on this subject this morning. Let us go to church. Look what He says now after He's talking to us. Not capital. That means it's a big deal. He inserted that a light would come on. Not forsaken. The assembling, look here, not of the world, but of ourselves, still talking to us. God requires more out of me and you. As the manner of some is, I don't want to be like some are. But exhorting one another, that word is a Bible word, encouraging. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you for standing this morning. Our Father, our Master, our Lord, we bless You today. Thank You for the good Spirit in the house of God. Help me in the preaching this morning. I'm a needy preacher. I need Your touch. We need You to move on us this morning. Thank You for these little ones that have sang. We love You and bless You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. Let us go to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. We live in a new day, do we not? We live in difficult time. We live in an ever-changing world. I see things today that I thought I'd never live to see in all of my life. I see churches that have become complacent and stagnated. And doors that used to be open, there's some 2,000 churches in America that are padlocked annually because this verse was not applied. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We have a wonderful church. We have a wonderful atmosphere. We have wonderful people. We have the right Bible. We've got the right kind of music. But I'm going to tell you something. We owe it to the Lord Jesus to be faithful to His church. This generation behind me, you owe it to this generation to be faithful. I go to several churches and it seems that there's a lot of just older people scattered about. Oh my goodness, how we need to stay faithful with the things that have worked for years and years. Matter of fact, the way that our church is running today is the way our forefathers did things years ago. Now, I want you to notice there are some Bible characters that surface in our Bible that they had some issues with the Lord. They had some issues in their lives. And I want to use three of these characters. I want to use Simon Peter. I want to use Eutychus and I want to use Thomas in some things that messes up church going. You know, there was a young man that was raised in church the other day and I spent some time with him and it really grieved my heart. I'm real careful not to push things on people and I just sort of throw it out there and if you want it, apply it, it'll help you. If not, do without. But he told me, he said, you know, Pastor, I was raised in church and I was very involved in the youth. I was one of the leaders and the church began to grow and I didn't like what was happening. So I just sort of got out of church and now I'm married and have several children. And my wife has never been in church. And so, you know, the children we've got, they're very difficult to manage and to get ready. And so she says, you know, I'm not going to go through this to get that many children ready just for an hour or two of church. It's not worth it. Let me tell you, that's what the devil will tell you. It is worth getting your babies ready, getting them down to the house of God. It is worth you getting ready to get to the house of God. Now, I'm not for gimmicks. I'm not for gadgets, nor am I for games. We have a lot of churches that they've turned from the world and they offer the means of the world to get you to church. They promise you if you'll come that they'll give away a big screen TV and you know, you may have something under your seat and you can reach under and find. Well, that's what happened to falling in love with Jesus and making Him our priority to come to church for what He's done for us. What happened to just minding the Bible on not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? And he says this, just not on Sunday morning, but the more as you see the day approaching. What day are you talking? The day when Christ returns. Because the way He finds us is the way that eternity is going to keep us. I want to be right when He gets here. I don't want to get on the bus with my head down. I want to get on the bus with my head up. Going yonder to glory land world. Going to see the one that died for us and loved us and that's come back for us. And by the way, Jesus is coming. Are you going? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day when Jesus comes. He says, boys, you see the day approaching. Well, how do you know it's approaching? He said, well, in the last days perilous times shall come. You can plug in Google and you can search some things and you can notice that there's never been more earthquakes than in the generation that we're living in this morning. He said that there would be different types of falling away. You've never seen so many church buildings so equipped but yet so empty. He said there would be a withdrawing from the faith. We see everything now. I mean, from a possum to a polecat. And it seems like people so crazy, they'll follow anything. But let me tell you, what's your Bible say? I mean, we got boys swapping Bibles, swapping ships, swapping songbooks. They're trying to do something to find that'll work. Let me tell you what'll work. Just come and go into church, it'll work. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now I want you to notice about Simon Peter. He was a man a lot like me. He had a listening problem. I don't know about any of you, but I have some type of ADD deficit. I mean, if you've ever seen a kid that was just bouncing off chairs, you looking at him. But you know, my attention span's not very good, and a lot of times I have selective hearing. My wife, she'll say, now I mentioned that to her. I said, honey, you ain't said that to me. She said, oh, I said it. You just didn't hear it. Can I get a witness this morning? You know, Peter had selective hearing. A lot of you, you're comical to preach to. You know, you'll shout and holler when I'm preaching right at you, and you don't even know I'm preaching to you. Amen. You need a sign. What you need, neighbor. And you know, we have selective hearing. We just want to hear what we want to hear. Amen. But now Peter had a listening problem. In John 13 and verse number 36, Simon Peter said unto the Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now the Bible turns all of a sudden, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now right then, Peter should have fell down and said, Lord, I'm listening. If the Lord told you that you was going to deny Him, wouldn't you have been a little bit more interested than what Peter was? You know, isn't it amazing? You remember when Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus and he did what we all ought to do? Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And so he got out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I remind you, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds and the waves contrary, he began to sink. And you know what he done? He cried and said, Lord, save me. And I love this Bible term. The Lord reached and caught him. Now, let me ask you something. I wonder how much better of a walk it would have been before he got out if he had said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me before I do something crazy. Lord, before I embarrass myself, would you save me? Can you imagine walking on the water and all of a sudden you look down and you begin to sink and how many folks laughed at him? Have you ever done something that just embarrassed the fire out of you? I wonder how many times it'd been a lot better if we said, Lord, save me before I get in this kind of situation. Boy, how many times we have selective hearing. He told Peter, he said, listen, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. And I tell you what, the cock shall not crow till you've denied me three times. In other words, you're going to deny me three times and the rooster's going to tell it about you. Well, Peter had a listening problem. Look now in John 18 and 15. He goes along in life. And being the type person he is, he's following the Lord. He's like a bull in a china shop. Simon Peter followed Jesus and so did another disciple. That disciple was known in the high priest and went in with Jesus to the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Now, he's not went in, has he? Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, first of all, Peter's standing at the wrong fire. You know, every fire's not good to back up to. Matter of fact, the Bible said there were coals of fire. That thing had done burn out. And you know, a lot of our problems is we're hanging around people that the fire's done burned out, and all that is just old coals are hanging around. They done got the goody out of it, and you're just getting the leftovers, and you're going to stand there freezing cold because you ain't built your own fire up. And no doubt he knowed how to build a fire, but he decided to go over there to somebody else. That's a lot like me and you. Instead of us getting in our Bible study and in our prayer, we're trying to get warmed up off somebody else's. But you know, if you'd build your own fire this morning, Liberty Baptist Church wouldn't hold that crowd. Can I tell you, you can get away and build a fire for the glory of God this morning. Peter had a listening problem. He run over to the wrong fire. And you young people, you better be careful of the crowd that you're running. Because you notice, Peter did not influence the crowd. The crowd influenced Peter. Be careful you don't get in the car. The boys and girls go to smoking weed. You're not going to change them. They'll change you if you're not careful. You get in a car load and they went down to the package store to buy one, get one. On the devil's cheap potion. Amen. And then before long, you say, well, I'm going to run with that crowd. I'm going to change. No, they'll change you. Best thing you do, get out of the car and call your preacher. I'll come after you if your mom and daddy won't. Amen. That's right. And I tell you, little old cross-sided looking boys this morning, looking sideways at these little old young girls that appear in this church. Amen. You need to keep your hands to yourself. And you little girls need to keep your hands to yourself. Some of y'all looking down. We ain't praying right now. We're preaching. I got ain't scared rode across the windshield this morning. I ain't been to sleep my meal. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you will not influence the crowd. The crowd will influence you. And so we find Peter had a listening problem. He gets around this wrong fire and he warned himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples of his doctrine, verse 19. And he answered and he spake openly the world I ever taught in the synagogue. And then we notice this in verse number 24. Now Annas had sent him bound to Cephas, the high priest. Simon Peter stood and warned himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see thee in the garden with him? He said, I can't hear out of this thing. He said, I can't really tell, but said, ain't you the one pulled that sword out, your overcoat, and whacked my ear off? It done good if Peter would have confessed right there and said, hey, bud, I wasn't aiming for your ear. Said the grace of Jesus let your ear get gone. I was aiming for your head. And the cock crowed. You know, I've noticed this about God's Word is it sure is inspired. How many times has a preacher come through and had your mail and told you something? You said, that's for them behind me. That's for them beside me. But wouldn't Peter been a lot smarter, Brother Randy? Brother Adam, wouldn't he been a lot smarter man if he had fell on his face and said, God, I don't want the cock to crow on me. I don't want the cop grow on me. You know, I'm fixing to get a new rooster at home. A dog come through the yard, and ain't they supposed to be leash laws in Carroll County? Dog come by and got my rooster. I mean, I can't keep a rooster for dogs and owls, amen. Every time that cock would crow. It'd do us good to put some in here. Can you imagine Peter walking through after this ordeal and a cock crow? He said, you know something, the cock ain't got a crow on you this morning. That cock had to crow, but it didn't have to crow on him. Can I tell you this morning? The cock's going to crow, but it ain't got a crow on you. It ain't got a crow on me. Peter had a listening problem. I've always found out every time I've got in trouble, I wasn't listening. We come to the house of God, we ought to be bending our ear toward this desk. Because that's where the Word of God's going out with power and direction and clarity. Young people, don't let the cock crow on you. Quit running with that crowd that's just giving you their leftovers. Look for the Lord Jesus that'll be your best friend you've ever had. Number two, not only did Peter have a listening problem, but I want to say this morning, there's a Bible character in Acts chapter number 20. Eutychus had a leaning problem. Look in Acts chapter number 20. Now, he's a Bible character that just comes on the pages of our Bible. And I mean, there's 10 sermons in this character, but I've got to hurry up and get to the last. And in Acts chapter number 10, if you'll notice, or Acts chapter number 20, you'll notice in the reading of verse number 6 of Acts 20, Paul said, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7. And upon the first day of the week," that's on Sunday, "when the disciples," look what they're doing, "they came together. They came to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep." He's a lot like a bunch of our teenagers. They just deep in sleep. But they're going to wake up in the real world one of these mornings. Light bills, phone bills, getting a job, pulling their britches up and putting the belt in the right knot. They're going to come to the safe one morning. Deep sleep. And it's Paul, he helps me. You ain't the only one that's got a Pharaoh preacher. By his long preaching. Yeah, I tell you what, he probably laid out all night down yonder at the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at 12 o'clock because he probably didn't have a mom and daddy know where he is at. I thought I'd just insert that right quick. He sunk down with sleep and he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him, embraced him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life sent him. When he therefore was come up again, had broken bread and eaten, talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. They brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Now I will say this about not only Peter had a listening problem, but Eutychus had a leaning problem. Now, you'll notice that he went to sleep when he ought to have been paying attention. He had to been in a Baptist assembly. I mean, it ought to not affect me when I see people there dozing. But if I see you dozing, I'm going to come jump up on your pew right where you are. I remember a young preacher, I was really crazy then. As I was preaching, you know, and one of them old moss backs, they had their watch and he done this in front of me. I said, "Hey, sir, I can tell time." I didn't get to come back, but I told him what I thought. You see, deep sleep. And when he should have been a listening, he was sleeping. When he was maybe a texting, he ought to have been a listening. I think we're getting out 12:25. It'll be nine of us. Get a table. He ought to have been listening. I bet Paul, could you imagine sitting under Paul? Man, could you imagine the Holy Ghost dripping off that little man? Could you imagine a man, Brother Dennis, has walked through the fires that he walked through, and he opened up what he had, and he used it for the honor and glory of God, and there stood a boy out there asleep. Oh, that helps me when I look at some of you. But I want you to notice two things, and I go on to the third thing, and then I let you go and eat your chicken. He fell out of the third loft window. And you know why he fell? You that said unto me for years, you know it's one of my favorite cliches. Because he is leaning that way. Now, I want to say, if I fall, I want to be in the middle so I fall in. And not out yonder so I fall out. And then number two really helped me this morning. I tell you another thing I see with him, Brother Mike. One sermon blew him out. I had a family here 3 or 4 years. I thought they'd heard me say everything I know, because it don't take long for me to say everything I know. I mean, men call me to come preach Monday through Friday. I said, "I can't preach Friday night. I done said all I know by Thursday." And I mean, you know, they never would join, and it seemed like everything was fine. They enjoyed the service. And I remember one Sunday night, things got a little tight, and so I pulled the guns, whatever good independent fundamental Baptist preacher ought to do every now and then, and I just fired the guns off. Well, that one sermon blew them out. What about the other 450 that encouraged them and helped them? I can guarantee you one thing. I like what Brother Dean McNeese told me when I called him. Matter of fact, that happened on Labor Day, and that messed up my whole Labor Day. I texted that family and I asked them where they was. He said, "Well, we had to make a decision because of last Sunday night to leave churches." Well, I was preaching, and I was out of the Bible. I just didn't sugarcoat it. A lot of y'all just want a big sugar pill and a big drink of sweet tea to help you get on through till next Sunday. But sometimes a man's got to back the ears on a mule, honey, and tell folks what it is. Oh, that's right. It'll help you. One sermon blew him out. Isn't that amazing? That you sit in this environment and one man come in and preach out of the Bible and blow you out. I'd hope my britches is thicker than that. I'd hope I'd have more glue about me than that. Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. I don't guess he's glad. I said, "Look around. How many people's here today? I can't get to everybody." Well, preacher's mad at me. I ought to be, but I'm not. Eutychus had a leaning problem. Are you leaning? You know, I've always noticed this. Anything. And I'm just an old country farm boy, but I've noticed this out in the country. Them old barns that started doing this, for long, it was like this. And you know what I've noticed in my life? If it wasn't for preaching, my life starts leaning. And I'll hear the Word of God. And it's so easy to get to leaning. I can tell you where he was leaning, his leaning toward the world. Oh, that's good preaching on Sunday. You know, the world's got a lot of nice things to offer. I love toys. Man, I play golf, hunt, and fish. I love it all. I love it. Isn't it amazing a preacher can have a good time? A lot of y'all think a preacher ought to be in a corn crib with blinders on from Sunday night and let him out Sunday morning, give him bread and water. I love toys. I do, man. I love clothes. I do. I love life. Brother Driver, I'm determined I'm going to spend stuff so many youngs ain't got nothing to fight over when I kick out. I'm going to enjoy it now. I mean, if they want to enjoy what I got, they better get on this pony ride. The world attracts us, don't it? You know, I remember when I was loading them drink boxes and I had my target set on the top. And this is what's really amazing to me this morning. God allowed me to get there. But you know, when I got up there, that's the loneliest place I'd ever been. Nobody could relate with you there. And let me tell you what, everything that glitters, it's not gold. He is leaning to the world. We better watch the way the world pulls us, because it'll have you pulled out of here. You'll go buy a boat and you'll say, well, I've got to make the payments. I've got to work on Sunday. But what you're doing, you're starting to lean and your life's going to fall. It's fine to have blessings. It's time to enjoy things. It's great to have things. But look, don't let things have you. This ought to be priority. Church ought to be priority. Let us. He expects this out of us. Now close. Not only do we see that Peter had a listening problem, and I mean, he had a door, but he wouldn't go in it. And then we see that Eutychus had a leaning problem, but I want to say that Thomas had a loyal problem. In John chapter number 20, you know the story. Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. We see that in John chapter number 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, they assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them. Now the first day of the week, that's the day that we're to gather together. They met on the Sabbath day till Christ got out of the tomb. Then on the first day of the week, they started meeting, and it became Sunday, and it became the Lord's day. They're meeting on the first day. This is the first day of the week. And then watch this. They were assembled, and Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. What a church service for Jesus to walk in. And when he said, he showed to them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were in a panic. Their leader has just been on a cross. They went to the tomb, couldn't find him. But now he walks in their church service. Then said Jesus, Son, again, peace be unto you as my Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. The breath of God was on their service. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, and whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Look what he missed. You know, a lot of people says, well, send me a tape. Send me a CD. But I done found out, honey, when Jesus comes in, you can't get him on a CD. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord, buddy.
But he said to them, except I shall see his hands and print the nails and put my finger and print the nails, thrust my hand inside, I'll not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. He said, well, I believe I'm going to go try that church stuff. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, isn't that amazing? I mean, wouldn't that be something if you was just picked right out of the crowd? He said, hey, boy, reach hither your finger. He said, I heard what you said last Sunday. But you've not believed. He said, put your hands, reach it hither, and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believe. Thomas answered, said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He had a loyal problem. I want to say that he had a loaded excuse. It's easy to find excuses to prop up our wrongdoings. He had limited experiences. Can you imagine missing out when the Lord moved in? And Sherry, I want you to come this morning, and if you'd just play something for me, I'd appreciate it. Loaded excuses and limited experiences. I can tell you why people are spiritually ignorant. They're not persistent. They're not consistent when the Lord's coming in and moving. I don't want to be one of them Christians that just hear about it. I want to get in on it. And I want to say this, not only do they have loaded excuses and limited experiences, but they're lousy examples. Did you know it's discouraging when you don't come to church? Well, who's preaching? Well, don't matter who's preaching, it's what they're preaching. I mean, well, who's preaching? Well, you know, we need to get past that and say, what's being preached? You see, we need each other. We need these young'uns. Aren't they so encouraging? You know, this is what gets me a lot of times. The people that could have an excuse, they don't use it and they come. And there are people who have excuses that they can't, and I understand they're legitimate excuses. But when you're just staying at home and church is going on, you ought to feel wrong. I understand we've got elderly. They can't drive at night. I know that. Bad weather. I know that. My wife needs a total knee replacement right now, today. She's late. It ain't a day in her life she don't hurt. So just because you hurt, you're not going to come. You know what I done found out? I found out if I took a pill every time I hurt, I'd be a dope addict. So I done found out, you know, it's part of getting cut on and getting old. You're just going to hurt a little bit, and you just got to suck it up and move on, crybaby. Caroline, you and Miss Emily, stand up. Y'all see them babies? They counting on me to come here whether I hurt or not. You can sit down. I remember one Sunday morning, they took a disc out of my neck on Wednesday. I sat right over there Sunday morning. Well, preacher, you're the pastor. You ought to be here. Yeah, you ought to be here too. Pastor needs people like people need a pastor. And a lot of times we just want to come Sunday morning just to ease our conscience up a little bit. Our greatest service, you know when our most powerful and greatest services are? They're at Sunday school and they're at nighttime. Do you know how discouraging it is to members to look around and where's our people? And I'm not trying to run you off. I'm trying to encourage you and help you to get faithful. I can't believe I ain't been mean preaching this morning, tired as I am. You know, if we just come to church every time we felt like it, we wouldn't have many here, would we? If you copped out on getting your young'uns ready, you wouldn't never make a circus. I guarantee you Sunday morning is going to be the worst day of your week. I mean, ain't it somehow young'uns go crazy on Sunday morning? I mean, they do good, they just come unwound on Sunday. Ain't it amazing you never have a fuss and a fight till Sunday morning? Some of y'all come up the doorsteps out there and you're slanging books. I mean, your nose is breathed out like a Brahma bull, and you walk and say, "How y'all doing?" We sure have brought a bunch of junk in here with us this morning, though. Because your junk in that trunk. Daddy, stand up, be a man. You know, I didn't have the option. I didn't call the shots at my house. You know, when long hair was cool, the Bible says it's shame for a man to have long hair, by the way. Me and Brother Jill ain't got to worry about that. But when long hair was cool, you know, I wanted them locks. That swoop. My dad said, "Boy, you're going to barbershop." He said, "Boy, in the morning we're going to church." You, if you could travel with me, you'd see how blessed we are. There takes preventive maintenance to keep going what we've got going. And let me tell you, the devil will be eating. I know, I'm not belittling your hurts. I'm not belittling your situation. I know it's times you've got to miss. I'm not crazy. I know that. But let me tell you something. As a norm, we can be more persistent in being dedicated to the Lord. I asked you this, has He done anything for you? When you called on Him, was He faithful to you? Was He faithful to you? I sure want to be faithful to Him. My sister plays this morning. I open up this song. Whatever you need in your life, I want to ask you, let us go to church. Let us be faithful. If you need any help from the Lord this morning, you can. Maybe you need to bring your family, your children. I don't know what you need, but I want to open this altar up and tell you, don't let the cock crow on you. He don't have to crow on you this morning. But I know this, if you need some help, you can find it here. And I thank Him for that this morning.